Okay. Okay, so the first one, these are the five qualities of non-communicating karma, which is the aura. Or we could maybe say energy. The first one is sem yengpa. Say sem yengpa. And yen equals or means distraction. And the idea of this aura, even when we aren't thinking about it, it's still there. So with the example of the vows, even if we're not thinking about our bodhisattva vows or our refuge vows, lifetime lay vows, they're still there. And I don't know if this is what it means, but I think of it this way. They're still there, they're protecting us, they're growing. While we're keeping them, they're getting stronger. The second one, say sem-mepa.
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 And this means mind not. Even when the mind is almost shut down, as in a deep state of meditation. This aura is still there. So there's certain kinds of deep meditation when our mental process is almost stopped, which would be a great relief. It isn't stopped, but it's at an extremely subtle level where it feels like it. And even then, this aura is still there, this non-communicating karma. Say ge dang, mi ge. Ge dang mi ge. And this one means it has an ethical component. It's either virtuous or non-virtuous. So as we'll get into later, there are things in the universe that are neutral, morally neutral, but this aura has to be one or the other, virtuous or non-virtuous. And these are classical examples that I'll give. Examples of a bad aura. One classical example is someone says, I swear I'll be a butcher for the rest of my life. I'm signing up because I intend to kill animals for the rest of my life. That would most likely be a negative. The other classical example given is joining the military. You vow to kill people and you get a negative aura from that. Then when you're discharged, you lose that aura.
You lose it.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into these questions a lot more in this course. Is there a difference between joining the military with a virtuous intent or as a non-combatant? That sort of thing. So we're not going to go there now, but we will get there. The fourth one said Jedrel.
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 The fourth quality of the non-communicating karma, or the aura, is that it continues on in a stream. It follows you through time and place. As you walk around, it goes along with you. I think this idea is really cool. I mostly think of it in the positive, which is a nice change because usually the negativity bias is so strong. We think of things in the negative. Okay, last one is Junghua Chi.
Junghua Chi.
Nyam Gyur Jepa.
Nyam Gyur Jepa.
Junghua Chi.
Junghua Chi.
Nyam Gyur Jepa. This aura is also composed of a subtle physical matter. That's cool. So, we had a discussion about the elements in the last course and how the elements weren't meant literally. They're air, water, fire, earth, that sort of thing. This physical matter has the elements as its cause, and they're more representative of hardness, wetness, space, heat. And these describe actual physical energies that are in all matter. So every atom has these four. Even every individual atom has all four elements, just in varying degrees. That's how some things are softer, some things harder, some things wet, that sort of thing. This one, I think this non-communicating karma is a comfort. It's like we do a virtuous deed and we carry around, it stays with us in a way. Because we can think of karma, but karma seems, at least in my experience, it seems a little more distant. Like I'm doing something and then it's going to come back at some point. But with this idea, we're doing something and it's staying with us continuously when we're not thinking about it. It has a physical element. So there's something there that's, I keep going back to the idea that it's a protection in some way.
So do you get this non-communicating karma with only certain kinds of actions, or?
My understanding is that it's from any action, but it's virtuous or non-virtuous. So the neutral things that we're doing that are neither virtuous or non wouldn't be causing it, just the good and the bad.
So if I'm like flipping back and forth between like a mental affliction and then like do a kindness right afterwards, I'm like continuously shedding and getting new
little. It seems like that's the idea. But the idea with vows, if we're taking them for a lifetime, then it would stay with us for a lifetime. Because if there are things that we're doing that are coming and going, we're beginning and we're ending, then it seems like it would be ending, just like the idea with going to war. You get that aura, and then once you're discharged, you're done with that. It could get pretty confusing. And then maybe a certain job we have that aura while we're there, and then when we're done, we don't have that. Or when we're in a particular relationship and doing similar types of deeds all the time. Yeah. Does anyone have questions so far on anything we've talked about or haven't talked about yet? Okay.
What do these orbs mean exactly?
This is basically, so we talked about the types of communicate, there's the two types of karma. So there's communicating and non-communicating. Two types of verbal and physical karma. So that's what we're talking about here. We're just talking about the non-communicating karma because there's five types of that one. The first one was the communicating type, the form, the physical form that's communicating, you're praying or doing prostrations. So that's communicating something, that maybe you're doing something holy or spiritual. Or it could be anything. We see someone coughing or picking their nose or whatever they're doing. And then that's communicating something. And then it's saying there's another type of communicating that's an aura of some type that we carry around with us from the deeds that we do.
How does that affect us, these auras?
What do you have an idea? What do you think?
A part of me thinks that that we just, it keeps us away from certain people, or maybe we have certain ideas about people, but I'm not sure if that actually relates to, if it's true to this of thinking, oh, these judgments of them, or if that's just karma, you know, like the way that I see them.
Yeah. And that's kind of a hard one because everything is karma. But that's where I'm thinking this goes to. It seems to me that this would be how we don't like someone and then all of a sudden they're our best friend. Or we've known someone forever and then they seem to change and we don't like them anymore. That sort of thing. But also it seems like it could be helpful in developing more kindness in the way that we interact with other people. Because something that we're like strongly feeling against someone, it might just be something is difficult in their life at that point. It's not necessarily, oh, that's that person and I don't like them. That sort of thing. It might just be, oh, I'm getting a sense that this person is having a lot of difficulty right now. And it's not necessarily that they're a bad person and I don't like them. So I think it could be used in a way to develop an understanding of our interactions with other people and to not be so judgmental of them. That's how I could see it. That's how I could see it could be useful. And in the way that our good deeds are going to be carried around with us too, as kind of a power or a strength. That nothing that we do is going to waste.
Is it that if one of these are added to us at a certain point, that, because, you know, I've had a few friends that I was really close with, and all of a sudden it just seemed to change completely. And so I'm just wondering if that had something to do with it, that they had done something or I had done something that had changed my aura and or changed theirs, and then I'm just not attracted to them whatsoever.
That could be. And my sense of this, because this is in the detailist school, which isn't the school that we live in mostly, but we're here for this course, which is it's Theravadin or Hinayana school. The idea, I think, why Geshe Michael is bringing this up, or possibility, is that it's helpful in some way. It's not that it's the ultimate truth, but it's something that we have in our toolbox that we can use that can help us and can help other people. So ultimately, in the Galupa school, which we're not in this course, but ultimately, everything would be a karmic seed. That's why everything would happen. And this is just breaking it down into different types. Like, you can do subsections of the communicating and the non-communicating. So the reason that, like, the ultimate reason behind why a relationship would end would have been a karmic seed. And then on top of that, there could be this non-communicating karma where we could think about it that way, that something shifted, that someone did, one of the people in the relationship did some sort of deed that then the other's not attracted to anymore in some way.
That maybe these auras are protecting you from engaging with people that are,
yeah,
do something to harm that. Because because I always wonder at, in school or whatever, and also in other places where I'm like, why there's people that I just don't even talk to. But I wanted to, I mean, I'd like to engage with them, but...
Yeah, there's people we don't even know that we don't like. We just, literally, we could just walk past them on the street and we just know we do not like that person. Why would we not like them? So that's where this could be helpful. Or there's people we have no interest in talking to. We could be the most talkative person in the world and be able to talk to anyone. This one person, we have nothing to say to them and we just don't even care.
Yeah.
Or we're strongly drawn to other people. I mean, I really don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. But it could be, too, maybe where we're drawn to people with the similar aura, the similar non-communicating karma. It might be that, too. I don't really know. But the point of it is, how is it helpful? How can we... Can we use it in our practice? Okay. Okay, I think let's see if we can listen to His Holiness, if it'll come up. When I clicked on it, there was like a link that would come up.
Maybe if it's up. Present, it will do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So listen to His Holiness and try to remember what he's talking about. Try to remember some key points.
These tiny speakers, so.
Sounds pretty good.
Depend on the rest of the community or herds. So they work together. I'm escape from death. And with that feeling, when I meet people, one person, or 10 people, 100,000, 10,000, 100,000, I'm only sincere then as my brothers, sisters. That brings me, in mental level, completely relaxed. If I feel I'm something different from them, then some nervousness, some anxiety may develop. So once your own thinking open, reach out them as a close friend, then tremendous of benefit is on mind. Then others also feel, no longer feel stranger. Another human brothers. So that, I think, we really need that. So through that awareness, then from children, I think youngsters, they know they just one child remain lonely, may cry, and play with other children, feel very happy. So that's the human nature. So sometimes we grown up, then we always calculate, if I make friendship with that, how much I get some benefit. Or make friendship, then I can exploit or something. Then genuine basis of friendship no longer destroyed. Basis of genuine friendship is trust. Trust depends on openness. Like that. So through these things we can train. And then, mental level, no matter what your physical level, busy. But mental level, always calm, restful, relaxed. Immense benefit for your health. So mental health, body health, very close link. So the ultimate source of mental health is warm-heartedness. That's my belief. Maybe wrong. My friend, have to research, more research work.
So he's basically, the whole time, the more you study, then when you listen to His Holiness, you can see how he's teaching the teachings the whole time. He's talking about karma, that entire thing. He's saying, you do this, this is what happens. You do this, this is what happens. So he's talking about all these correlations. What do you guys think? Any comments from him?
What was he saying about the talking to people you don't even talk to or something?
Does anyone remember that?
Talking about like meeting people he doesn't know and then just thinking of them as his brother or sister and then he gets relaxed. Was that part?
Uh-huh. I wasn't paying, like, I don't know if I heard it right or if that's what he was.
He was talking about how once you have a warmness and an open-heartedness that whoever we encounter is like our family or a close friend or brother or sister. He was talking about that. And then he was also talking about how little kids have the right idea with like friendship and with playing and being with people. They're still a little bit picky. They only want to play with certain people sometimes. But at a certain age, they just are happy to play with anybody. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that's the right idea, as opposed to, I can see myself doing this, where I'm like much more hesitant to be friends with people or want to hang out with them because I don't know, is this going to be something good? Am I going to get what I want from this? That sort of thing. It's like this, as opposed to the kids who are just open and want to play and have fun with everybody. Like we develop into this idea that only certain people are valuable and we like push away the other people. Something like that. So he's saying the cause of that, or the effect of that, is that we're lonely. We don't have friends. We don't have people around us. And that's happened to me in my life from, I think the cause was gossiping a lot when I was younger and, you know, divisive speech and not being happy for my friends when things happen to them. I remember the first friend I had who was happy for me when I got a job, a new job. It was amazing. I'd never had that before. Somehow I planted some good seeds at some point for that to come up, and it was like this huge breath of fresh air. But through all those negativities, there was a long time, and I still feel it now too, where I didn't feel like I had any friends anymore. As opposed to, there was another time when I had so many friends, like all over the place. So we can kind of look at these things in our own lives and think, where did that come from? And, you know, why is that happening? And it doesn't have to be a selfish, it can get to be a really selfish practice if we go that way. But in a way, we can think about things. May I have this in my life? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be happy for people when good things happen. So that all beings may have good things happen to them, myself included. We can look at it that way. And when we're fulfilled, we're much more used to other beings, even in just like a normal living way. You know, like we have a good job and maybe... Yeah, we got enough sleep, that sort of thing. How much better we are in our world for people around us.
Is it, if you really don't have that genuine happiness, but you want to be there, but if you just say it, even if you're not really feeling it, is that...
Yeah, totally. But if you're saying it like with that wisdom, I know I don't have this right now, but it's something that I know is useful. I want it in my life. I want other people to have it too. At a certain point, we're faking it until it becomes real for us. And that's not a negative thing. It's not like my depression and my sadness, if I wallow in them, are going to be much help to myself or anyone else. Although they might be happening, we don't push it down and say this is not here. But I see this here. I'm like being with what's happening, and I'm choosing to not act on it. I'm choosing to start to look at the positive side. So practice can be really... what's the word? Intricate. There's a balance of being with what's happening and honoring that. But then there's what we do going forward. That's separate. Just because we're being with some sadness or something that's coming up, it's not that we have to go into that sadness and stay there. So we might be feeling that, but we're planting the seeds for our future. To not have that be the reality all the time. Like, okay, I'm feeling this. At the very least, I can think, this could be a lot worse, and it's not. That's a good thing. I'm really glad this isn't worse right now. So we just start wherever we can and start to turn it a little bit, you know, little by little, and then it starts working, and things shift and they change. But in the beginning, my experience is it can take a while, because it's like the analogy of trying to like turn the Titanic. It's a big thing and it has so much momentum in one way, and so we're like slowly working with it and it's turning around. Some people, I think, have the experience that it flips quickly. That doesn't really happen in my practice. So it could work that way for you, Or it could go slower and a little more gradual, which is, for some of us, a lot better for us in our practice. If it moves too fast, maybe we flip out and don't want to do it anymore or something, too. So we usually wish for the big change, but if it happened that big, that fast, it might be too much for us to handle. Anyone else?
Especially because, like, the changes, like, don't always come the way that you expect. So it's still, like, a shock, even though it's, like, what... Sometimes it's hard to see, like, wait a minute, this is what I asked for, but it just...
Yeah. It is. It's so funny. It's almost like we don't even recognize it until it's been here a while.
Yeah.
Then we're like, wait a minute, this is exactly what I asked for, and it's here, and I didn't even notice. Yeah. And at that time, I wanted it so bad.
So I wanted to move into my own apartment, and so I was, like, planting seeds for it, and I wanted it, and I wanted it, and then I got my own place, but it, like, wasn't in the neighborhood that I wanted, and it wasn't the apartment that I wanted, and so it was like, oh, well... whatever. And then it's like, no, that's actually exactly what I wanted. It just wasn't, like, it didn't manifest how I imagined it in my mind to, like, appear to me. But it's like, no, like, I got what I wanted. Like, I have it. And so.
And it's, yeah, it's a good point to bring up because ultimately we're working to get out of the cycle of suffering. If we're just planting seeds for these mundane little things to happen, that's how it's going to work. They'll happen, and it's a great thing that they happen, and it's a nice thing because it can help us practice more, because it can help us to be of more benefit to the people around us, to just be in a happier state, that sort of thing. So it's good for our practice, but if we're always just dedicating to things happening for us, we're never going to be satisfied because these things that we want aren't going to bring us the satisfaction we want. They're just not. We think they're going to, but over and over and over and over through our lives, the things we want happen, and then we find out they're not the answer. So we're working with these karmic seeds so that at a certain point, we get out of suffering completely. So when we're doing these things, we're thinking, okay, what's an example? I'll go back to the job. I want to get this position so that I'll have the resources and the time to do more retreat, which is then going to get me to reach Buddhahood so I can help all beings. So it's adding, like, the whole thing in there. Not just, I want this new job so I have more money. Because karma will work, it'll work like that, but it's a waste because it can do so much more. So if we're just using it for that, things will get better, but it won't lead to the ultimate happiness that we want, which is what we really want. That's why we're attracted to a path like this. Because we know all of the mundane pleasures in a way. We know, like, the good movies, which it's not that they're bad. We know, like, great vacations and good relationships. And all of these are important. They support our practice, but they'll never be the answer. They'll never be the final answer. The final answer is not going to be in a new job. It's not going to be in the right relationship. It's not going to be in, what else? And even in health in some way. These are all important and they're necessary, but they're not going to be the answer. And we're always grasping after one of those things in one way or another. I need a job. Okay, I got the job. I need relationship. Okay, got the relationship. I need a place to live. Got that. Okay, I need some sort of health in some way. I need to get in better shape and then I'll be happy. It's always out there. It's this endless cycle that will never be the answer. So that's why we practice a path like this that can get us completely off of that cycle. So we're not running endlessly over and over, disappointed again and again, thinking we're doing something wrong. It's just how It's how the realm that we live in works. It's how things work in samsara. And that can take a while, like, to sink in, that idea. Because it's a broken realm, what we're living in. It doesn't mean this place where we are. I don't know what anyone else is experiencing but myself. You all may be enlightened beings and experiencing this world as a paradise. And it might be that I'm the last one out of all the beings to become enlightened. And I'm in a way, I'm in the same place, but I'm in samsara. Because that's the karma I have coming up. Anyone else have any question or anything they want to say? Okay. Let's end with a short meditation. It'll just be a few minutes, and then we'll do prayers. Okay. Sitting up nice and tall. And letting your physical form relax. And get a sense of this golden warm nectar that are all these teachings passed down from generation to generation, all the way back to Shakyamuni Buddha. This warm nectar is washing over your whole body. So you're absorbing, realizing, internalizing all of these sacred teachings. And you feel hopeful, at peace, content. That the goal of this practice, of this path, would mean total contentment, if we can even imagine that. No hatred, no anger. Of jealousy. Every action we did, body, speech, and mind, would be from a place of love, kindness. And this is the truth that each of us knows in our hearts in some way. We know the purpose of life is not to endlessly chase material things. There's a way that we can live and practice where we take joy in whatever comes. And we let it go when it's time for it to go. It's a way to flow. And we're not twisted and turned around by everything that comes. As Lauren leads us in our prayers in a moment, keeping this thought in mind, this is why we're here, this is why we study, why we're practicing, so that we can be completely free, free of any unhappiness, any pain. And as we're singing the prayers, we're asking for this to be. We're offering all of our effort in this practice that we may be completely free and help all others do the same.
Sashi Puki Chukshim Eto Chum Rira Blink Shin Yen Deg Yen Padi Sangye Shing Du Mik Te Uar Gi Jokun Am Dak Shing La Chu Par Shuk Yidam Guru Radna Mandala Kam Niryatayami Gewa Ti Gewa Kun Sunam Yeshe Sok Sok Shing Sunam Yeshe Le Jungwe Dampai.